The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to the crowd, "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds.' At that time, Jesus said, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such is your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.'" The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. If ever you are in search of comfort, and obviously right now we're in a kind of an uncomfortable time in our city, and then life just is full of burdens and things that are create heaviness on us. If you're ever in search of comfort, you can always go to the appropriately named comfortable words in the Book of Common Prayer. So the comfortable words are the four verses from Scripture that are found right after the confession of sin and the absolution in the right one version of communion. We do right two at this service, but the right one version in the prayer book. And they're called the comfortable words for a reason, and that's because they are distillations of the gospel. And the gospel, by definition, always and only delivers comfort. That is what the gospel does. So the Bible contains 66 books and a total of 31,102 verses. The architects of the prayer book chose four of those 31,000 verses to be administered as gospel comfort. And one is the well-known John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only son." And another is from one of John's epistles, "If anyone sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And a third one comes from St. Paul. "This is a true saying and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And you notice the thread there that they all contain a message of comfort. Now, the fourth comfortable word, like a dose of medicine for those of us who are ill, is a verse that I just read to you from Matthew's gospel. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you." Or in another translation, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I was first introduced to this verse when I was a teenager, attending Young Life, which is a ministry for high school students, and we sang songs in our Young Life gatherings, and we sang a version of this verse. I remember, "Come unto me, all who are weak, weary, and heavy laden, gentle am I, and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls." Now, as a 16-year-old boy, at that point, to be honest, the last thing that I wanted to identify with was being weak or weary or heavy laden. You know, 16-year-old boys who are vying for popularity have a vested interest in being strong and confident and lighthearted, or at least appearing to be so. And yet, sitting on the floor of somebody's living room singing these lyrics, next to some girl that I had a crush on who probably didn't have a crush on me, and some guy who I thought sort of thought had it all more together. I found that I deeply resonated with the comfort administered by Jesus's words. And my guess is that you do too, that this is a universal tone that Jesus strikes. And it's universal because everybody hurts, so that everybody is in need of comfort. And you have in your mind this morning the very thing that causes you to want to reach out for comfort. Now, too often, the church adds to people's burdens rather than giving them comfort. And this, I say this because this is the context of Jesus's comments, his comfortable words this morning. Because the religious people aren't satisfied. John the Baptist came on the scene. He was a kind of prophetic ascetic. And the churchy people accused him of demon possession. They said, lighten up. And then Jesus arrived on the scene, and he was like eating barbecued ribs and drinking Heineken with all the wrong people. And they said, whoa, you need to get serious. We can't take you seriously. So elsewhere, Jesus said of these same people that they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders. And, you know, that sadly still happens. Why would anybody want to walk through the doors of a church? You're already weighed down by the burdens of your life to have more burdens piled on you. You know, if somebody's brave enough to come to church, only be told to pray more, give more, or do more justice, or act better, or be better, then I'm thinking, why come to church at all? Because you can hear all those same messages everywhere else. PBS's tagline is be more. Lowe's tagline is never stop improving. And the Army, of course, says be all that you can be. Now, I mean, I watch PBS. Grantchester is good. Occasionally buy something for our house at Lowe's, and I've got respect for the men and women who serve in the military, but my point is that when you come into church, you need to hear a message that you can only hear in church. I need a different message. So I hope that the message of church would be, by way of illustration, what I experience at Blue Ribbon Flies. Now, Blue Ribbon Flies is a fly fishing shop in West Yellowstone, Montana. And I go there on vacation nearly every year, and it's my kind of a vacation spot because there are about 12 fly shops and there are no churches there. So I really like it there. And we've been going to Blue Ribbon Flies for 10 years now, again, almost every year. West Yellowstone, Montana is like a mecca of trout fishing. And so the people at Blue Ribbon Flies, you walk in and they love to help people catch fish. And they're like the people at the Cheers Bar. And I've been going there so long and they know my name now. And they actually seem happy to see me when I show up every June. This year I brought my 15-year-old son for the first time and they were so excited to meet him. And the people who work at the shop always take as much time as you need to help you figure out how to fish and where to fish and what flies to fish with. And then, even though they hear this stuff all the time from morons like me, they listen delightedly as you tell them about yesterday's catch and what you're going to do tomorrow. And even though they're the experts and the majority of people who come in the shop, you know, sort of once a year hackers, they treat everybody as equals. And they make you feel comfortable. But even deeper, it's the guides that really impress me. We're fortunate enough to go on a float trip down the Madison River with a guide. And so each float boat has two fishermen, one in the front, one in the back, and the guide is in the middle rowing and working the anchor. But the guide rigs up your rod and ties on your flies and helps you with your cast and shows you where to fish. And when you catch a fish, he nets the fish once you've caught it. And then he takes your picture with a fish so you can post it on social media and pretend like you're an experienced trout angler. You know, got this big rainbow trout. The guide does that for you. But that's not all, because, you know, you got two people in a boat, and inevitably, you get excited and the rods cross and then all the fly lines with the flies and the indicators all get messed up and you lose a fly in a willow tree on the bank. Must be so irritating for the guy. But the guy says, "Hey, you guys need some help with that?" And then he'll pull over to the side of the river and re-rig your rod. And that the guide will never say anything about the fish that you've missed due to a bad cast or a poor hook set. And the guide will praise you even when you catch the smallest fish. And this goes on for 8 hours. And they do this every day, 7 days a week, every summer, and yet unfailingly, they make you feel wonderful. They even bring lunch for you. And so you leave afloat feeling really good, really comfortable. Now, even if you hate fishing or the idea of being on a boat for 8 hours makes you queasy, you get what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm talking about. And I hope that there are places in your life where you experience this kind of comfort. And it would be wonderful if people had that kind of experience every time they came to church. But even the best churches will fail you. And that's because churches are made of people. And people, well, are people. And that's why Jesus doesn't say, "Come unto church, all who are weary and heavy laden." What does he say? "Come unto me. Come unto me, and I will give you rest." You know, now what doesn't he say? He doesn't give people an eightfold path to master if we are to receive rest. He doesn't give us five pillars to submit to if we are to find rest. He doesn't give us a pithy pamphlet called 10 ways to maximize your rest this summer and minimize your weariness. He doesn't even give us a platitude like, "Hey, just cheer up, buck up, you know, look on the bright side, always stay on the sunny side of life, it'll get better." What does he say? He just says, "Come to me." That's all. And there's a reason that he is called the friend of sinners. Like the old hymn says, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear." Are you weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Come unto me. I heard a striking illustration I'll use in closing of Jesus' comfort and rest from a friend the other day. This friend made a visit to the emergency room to get some stitches. She was at the river, and she was putting a huge blue crab into her pot to cook. And of course, you do this when the crabs are alive. And this big Jimmy crab took issue with being boiled alive, and she grabbed her finger right there with his big pincher. And he wouldn't let go. You know, she was doing all this, and he wouldn't let go. And finally got the crab off, and she exacted revenge on the crab by boiling it with beer in Old Bay. But then she went to the ER after that because she kept bleeding. So, and when she went to the ER, she encountered quite a scene. This is what she found. There was a young woman who had been brought in, and she had been beaten up really badly. Her face was swollen terribly. And then family members started pouring into the waiting room at the ER, and they were telling stories of how it happened and the gang of other guys that did this to their sister, and the noise level and the tension level of the room just escalated. And then there were threats, and then there were promises of revenge that ensued, and an eye for an eye, but maybe even worse, let's kill these people. And then at the peak of the fever pitch in the room where my friend was observing all of this, an uncle, like an elder in the family, stood up and he called for all the family's attention. And he said, revenge is not God's way, and it will only make things worse. And he said that he was grateful that his niece wasn't killed, and that there were doctors and nurses working to heal her. And he said that they needed to take the situation to the Lord. So then he gathered his family together in this ER, and they held hands and they prayed, and he prayed. He prayed for his niece, for her healing. He prayed for the doctors and the nurses, for them to be equipped to heal her. He prayed for his angry family members. And then he prayed for the people who had committed this terrible crime. And he prayed for forgiveness. And he prayed for peace. And he prayed for rest. And then after his prayer, the family sat down. They settled down. And they rested their souls in God's comfort. Come unto me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And the gospel comfort, brothers and sisters, goes even deeper than that, because even if you won't, don't, or can't at this time come to Jesus, know that Jesus has already come to you. For remember, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Amen.